Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a couple of subjects in the news, which is dominated by the latest gun massacre in Aurora, Colorado. We'll begin with the survivor of the Virginia Tech massacre, Colin Goddard, who was shot four times and was one of seven in a class of 17 to survive the shooting, with three of the four bullets still in his body. We will discuss why, after Virginia Tech and the mass shooting in Arizona of a U.S. congresswoman and a federal judge, nothing was done to prevent deranged individuals from obtaining military firepower to up the ante and break records in the mass killing of innocents. Then we'll look into the role of the NRA in preventing the oversight of an industry that manufactures a product that is completely unregulated from a health and safety standpoint. Kristen Rand, the legislative director of the Violence Policy Center in Washington, D.C., joins us. Then finally, we'll examine a new report by the Tax Justice Network that reveals the super rich are hiding $21 trillion in tax havens, the equivalent of the U.S. and Japanese economies combined. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist and columnist with Reuters, David K. Johnson, joins us to discuss the scale of global tax avoidance that might be as high as $32 trillion. Joining us now is Colin Goddard, whose life changed after surviving the Virginia Tech massacre in April of 2007, which up until a couple of days ago was the worst shooting in American history. While enrolled as a fourth-year student at Virginia Tech pursuing an international studies degree, Colin Goddard was shot four times and was one of seven out of a class of 17 to survive the shooting. He has three of the four bullets still in his body, as well as a titanium rod implanted in his left femur. An accidental crusader against gun violence, his story is documented in the film Living for 32, and as the Assistant Director for Legislative Affairs at the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence in Washington, D.C., Colin Goddard travels the country with the film and shares his story in an effort to educate, advocate, and mobilize Americans to get involved in preventing gun violence. Welcome to Background Briefing, Colin Goddard.
Thanks for having me.
And Colin, after what's happened in Aurora, Colorado, I don't want to depress you, but it doesn't look like it's working, does it? I mean, what more do we need to learn from these incidents? What more horrors have to visit us? I mean, the last one we had was bad enough in January 2011. A U.S. congressman barely survived being shot at point-blank range, and a federal judge was killed, along with a bunch of other innocents. I just am astounded that we keep having to have these conversations.
Well, Ian, we literally did nothing after the shooting in Tucson, Arizona last year. Nothing has changed since then, so we should not be surprised when these situations keep occurring. I mean, it is insane that someone can go into a Bass Pro Shop and walk out with an AR-15 with a 100-round drum. 8 years ago, when the assault weapons ban was still in place in federal law, you couldn't do that. You couldn't walk to the store down the road and walk out of there with a military weapon and able to fire 100 rounds before you stop and reload. No. We can change this if we want to. This does not have to be a new normal in America. If we choose to change it, if we get outraged, if we make our elected officials accountable to us,
well,
it's something that the American people are going to have to change. It's not going to come from Washington.
Well, the thing that I see on the press, though, is lots of piety, lots of platitude. We're going to work our way through it. We're going to come out stronger at the other end. But no mention about what we can do about it. And a tremendous amount of focus on the actual horror of the event itself. And you know, from the president to Mitt Romney and everybody, the word evil keeps coming up. Obviously, it may well be applied to this person. But on the other hand, there is another evil, and that is the notion that we can't do anything about a problem like this. I mean, that's unhealthy. And maybe evil's too strong a word, but it's certainly unhealthy for a nation as powerful and as innovative and that prides itself on its ability to take charge, that we as Americans are basically saying there's nothing we can do about this.
But there are things we can do. That's the thing. I mean, that's what I think is the first hurdle in this is educating people so they know that there are changes that can be made so this same situation does not happen again in another American city. You know, that's when my eyes were opened after I got shot at Virginia Tech. I mean, I was like most Americans who see these things in the news and oh my God, that's horrible, express our sympathy, you know, send our thoughts and prayers, and then ultimately we shrug our shoulders and that's it. And it wasn't until I nearly lost my life and saw in a very direct way how we have policies that allow people to walk into these public places armed to the teeth with military-grade weaponry. I mean, that's something that we can change through our public policy process. That's something that we can change when the American people get outraged. That's the bit that's been missing, is that after the sympathies are sent, the shoulders are shrugged, and that's it. There is no next step, which is what's missing, which is what has to be done differently now, is people have to get outraged, direct their attention and their focus onto their leaders, specifically on every single level. And if they want to do that, we actually are starting a new petition campaign today, petitioning each member of Congress and the president to stop arming dangerous people, to acknowledge this issue, and to find a solution. So if they visit thebradycampaign.org, they can sign up and express their outrage directly. I mean, I could think that that's the most important thing. You know, think about what happened after the Trayvon Martin shooting several months back. I mean, there was no day in court for the Martin family. That changed because Americans became outraged. You know, they signed petitions. They talked about it on Twitter. They talked about it with their friends. And the Martin family now has their day in court. That didn't come from an elected official. So they're cowards in Washington, D.C. when they stand up to the National Rifle Association. I think everyone has acknowledged that so far. So these cowards need to know that the American people are pissed and the American people want them to stand up. And when they have some backing like that, I hope, God, that this system works as it's supposed to, and they do start to stand up and they do things for our public safety.
Again, I'm speaking with Colin Goddard, whose life changed after surviving the Virginia Tech massacre in April of 2007, which was, up until a couple of days ago, the worst shooting in American history. He was enrolled as a four-year student at Virginia Tech, pursuing an international studies degree, when Colin was shot four times and was one of seven out of a class of 17 to survive the shooting. He has three of the four bullets still in his body, as well as a titanium rod implanted in his left femur. And of course, unfortunately, a lot of the Republican politicians, Louie Gohmert from Texas, is talking some, he's even invoking God's will involved in this, because we are, as a nation, have fallen from grace or something. I can't follow his logic there. But he also went on to say that the answer to this is to have everybody in the theater armed. It's as though if you have an epidemic of arson, then you distribute matches to everybody. It's so bizarre. But how do you know, you actually experienced a mass shooting. You were a victim of a mass shooting. The way that that's perverted by the NRA and by anti-gun control people is that they say that, you know, they appeal to the notion of how terrible it must feel to be that helpless, and therefore you have to arm yourself. Now, you obviously took a totally different lesson from what happened to you.
I mean, you have to remember that the NRA's objective at the end of the day is to have more guns sold in America. So they will do and say whatever they have to keep the profits coming in to the people who manufacture and sell guns for profit in this country. That is what the NRA's whole job is. They don't represent the average sportsman, the average hunter. They represent now the people who make and sell guns and for profit in this country. So whenever you hear someone like Louie Gohmert saying things like that, you have to remember that he's a person that takes a lot of money from the National Rifle Association and reads their talking points that they send out. You know, the idea that if we only had more guns in America, we would all be a safer place. If that idea was true, then the United States of America, the country with one gun for every human being already here, we would already be the safest place in the entire world. How many more 100 million guns do we need in this country before things become safer for everybody? That's what I don't understand.
But in terms of the film about you, the one that you've taken around the country, and again, Colin Goddard is the Assistant Director of Legislative Affairs at the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Of course, the Brady Campaign began with Jim Brady being the press secretary for President Ronald Reagan. When President Ronald Reagan was the assassination attempt took place, his press secretary, Jim Brady, was grievously wounded along with the president. You've obviously taken a completely different lesson from the one that being is propagated by conservatives and by the pro-gun lobby, which is that that we can't afford to be helpless in this country. We can't afford to be victims like this. How do you combat that idea? You know, because so much of what we're being told and the testimony from the victims indicates this helplessness. And even though there were several military vets that one was serving that were shot as well, that is what, you know, the NRA, they're pretty silent, but essentially the message out there is that the only way to prevent being a victim is to pack a firearm.
It's insane. We've had presidents of this country shot, surrounded by the most highly trained armed people in this country. Right. The ultimate solution to gun violence is not more gunfire. You don't solve it with the exact same thing that's causing the problem in the first place. You know, it drives me crazy when you hear that. But people, like you said, people have come to me and said, "Wow, you know, I'm so surprised that you don't carry a gun with you now everywhere you go." I don't want to carry a gun with me where I go. I don't want to carry a gun when I have to go to the movie theater thinking about shooting someone who comes in late. I mean, that's what they're going towards. I don't want to go that way. I want to go to the way where I can go to the movie theater and not worry about that happening, or send my kids to school and not worry about that happening. You know, speak now on this or forever hold the peace is what I heard somebody say. I mean, that's what's going to have to happen. The American people are going to have to get outraged. Join us in expressing that outrage directly to those who are supposed to be voting for you. And let's have a vote on something like making sure that military weapons with 100-round drums aren't sold to the American public anymore. We did that before. We can do that again. Let's make sure we do a background check every time a gun is sold to make sure it doesn't go to someone who shouldn't have it in the first place. You know, let's improve our mental health policies. You know, there are specific things. The first is going to have to be the American people getting outraged and demanding the change. That's the part that's been missing for so long. Like I said, again, visit thebradycampaign.org today. Start this process with us. We want to take this all the way to having something change so that these same situations don't occur and we don't keep looking at each other like, oh, my God, what can we do? We can do things. We know we can do things. Now let's gather some support and go do it.
And Colin Goddard, again, his life changed after surviving the Virginia Tech massacre in April of 2007, which was up until a few days ago the worst shooting in American history. He was enrolled as a fourth-year student in Virginia Tech pursuing an international studies degree when Colin was shot four times and was one of seven out of a class of 17 to survive the shooting. And he still has three of the four bullets in his body, as well as a titanium rod implanted in his left femur. You mentioned Colin, the mental health aspect, there's obviously a connection here between the person who shot you at Virginia Tech and this person dressed up in this extraordinary array of military-style ballistic vests and throat guards and knee guards and shin guards and everything in the world, which apparently you can buy freely. I mean, this is stuff that only should be sold to SWAT teams, but They sold 6,000 rounds to this guy. The more you learn about him, the more you realize that he, you know, to put it mildly, has mental health issues. I guess nothing has happened since Virginia Tech, right, in terms of the nexus between, you know, mentally disturbed people and the access to firearms.
We still have millions of records, mental health records, missing from our background check system across the country. The Fixed Gun Checks Act legislation sitting in Congress now waiting for a vote would fix that, would get millions more of these records into that system so that system is running as robustly as possible, as efficient as possible. And it would also then apply that system across the board. So this person, you know, could not have just gone past the Bass Pro Shop or Grander Mountain, gone to a gun show and put money down and walked out of there without any background check. You know, I know it wasn't directly related to this particular incident that just happened on Friday, but it was to the shooting of the police officers in New Hampshire a few months ago. That was something bought without a background check. I mean, there are huge loopholes in our laws that allow dangerous people to arm themselves so easily, and we don't change them because we don't ask our elected officials to do so. We let them get bought by big business groups like the National Rifle Association and do their bidding, and we never give them crap for it. You know, that's what we need to do. That's the missing piece in all this. And if we don't fix that, we're gonna have a conversation the next time this happens, and we're gonna be looking at each other like, oh my God, what can we do? Damn it, we know what we can do already. We know how this process works. Now it just takes people getting outraged and getting it done. I don't know. I can't express that enough. I can't say it enough. I'm sick and tired of getting phone calls saying, well, is this a dead issue? What are we gonna do? How can people can't talk about this? What, we're the best country in the world. We can figure this out. You know, at least
the mayor of New York's talking about it. I mean, there is some political courage being shown, and Bloomberg is actually shaming President Obama and Mitt Romney into talking seriously about, beyond the pieties and platitudes that are coming from both of them about how we're going to work through it and how we come out stronger at the other end. And by the way, the press shares in this kind of nonsense too. They go on and on about it. They make the perfunctory reference to gun control. But, you know, I'm just astounded that we're living in an alternative universe. After the mass killing in Australia, a very conservative government there bought back all the guns and they solved the problem within weeks. Never been an incident since then.
Not on the same scale. The same thing happened in the UK after the Dunblane shooting. After the shooting in Norway with Anders Breivik, I mean, they're looking at their policies. I mean, Switzerland, a country that has a high per capita gun ownership rate, still has a huge suicide rate that they're trying to deal with. So they're looking at changing their policies so that not everyone can keep a gun and ammunition at home stored. So, you know, we're the one country that doesn't have this conversation after our big national tragedies. If it's a plane crash, if it's a mine explosion, then we look at solutions, then we look at changes. But if it involves a firearm, there's not a word. And that's our problem.
Well, just in closing, Colin Goddard, you can't help feeling, though, that there's a connection to campaign finance. Because if the NRA are able to blackmail, and they put on this absurd show the other day where, with the most brazen hypocrisy, they're the main reason why guns go into Mexico, because they refuse to allow any oversight by the ATF of these gun stores on the southern borders that supplying arms to the Mexican drug cartels. But nevertheless, they were able to put on a show and go after Eric Holder and Buffalo and blackmail a lot of the Democratic congressmen to vote to censure the Attorney General, first in the history of the United States, on this bogus Fast and Furious story. The reason that they do it is that they cave in as cowards to the NRA, is that the NRA is going to use the gun manufacturers and the ammunition manufacturers' money to knock them off in the next primary. So if you took money out of politics, wouldn't that be the way to take the power away from the NRA?
I absolutely agree. That's absolutely important to changing the discussion, not on just this issue, but on every single social issue in America right now. You know, it's unfortunately, you know, the Republicans are going to put up opposition. We can expect that. The Democrats, though, their lack of action is what's really shameful. These are the people who are supposed to be there. These are the people, you know, who know what is right to do on this, and they're not saying anything. That upsets me more than opposition or comments from somebody like Louie Gohmert. You know, the fact that we don't have our Democrats standing up here and demanding something, that's the shame. That's what we need to make right again. We need to flip that on its head again, and we want to make sure that this is something that people know, that the American people support overwhelmingly, poll after poll after poll. If you break it down to specific changes, not saying should we have more gun control or less gun control in the vague terms, but specifically, you know, should we do background checks on everybody? Vast majority of Americans say, damn yes. Should we sell military weapons to the general population and let them buy 100-round drums so they don't have to reload ever? The vast majority of the population says no. So we need to connect these dots now and get the Democrats back on board, getting them to stand up for public safety as they once championed, and then we can finally make progress on this issue again and not have these same situations occurring over and over in our country and us looking at each other like, what the hell can we do? We can do better than this. We can't accept this. This is not our new normal. We can have a better America than this.
Well, Colin Goddard, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I mean, speaking with Colin Goddard, whose life changed after surviving the Virginia Tech massacre in April of 2007, which was, up until a couple of days ago, the worst shooting in American history. While enrolled as a fourth-year student at Virginia Tech pursuing an international studies degree, Colin Goddard was shot four times and was one of seven out of a class of 17 to survive the shooting. He has three of the four bullets still in his body, as well as a titanium rod implanted in his left femur. He's an accidental crusader against gun violence. Now his story is documented in the film Living for 32, and as assistant director of legislative affairs at the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence in Washington, D.C., Colin Goddard travels across the country with the film and shares his story in an effort to educate, advocate, and mobilize Americans to get involved in preventing gun violence. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Kristen Rand, the head of the Violence Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Happiness is a